Let's pray. Father, we just love you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, how you are faithful to us. Lord, your word tells us over and over that your faithful love endures forever. Father, help us to lean on that today. Help us to believe that today. Help us to tap into that today and to believe the truth and the promises that you give us in your word. The promise of your love that was displayed on the cross through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help that to be real to us this morning and for us to accept that. Lord, I pray over Joel and Rachel as they come to share this morning about what you've done in their life and what you're doing through them and what you're doing in the Philippines. God, I just pray that you would be with them. Lord, remove any nervousness or anything else, Lord, and let them just be your messenger once more today. Lord, that we may not only hear about what you're doing in their life, but we may be encouraged, we may be challenged and convicted of what more we can do as Christ followers. Lord, we just pray all this, and we just pray your blessing over the rest of this service. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So it's my pleasure, I know I've kind of, spoiler alert, kind of gave that away, but it's my pleasure to introduce Joel and Rachel today. I've known Joel for most of my childhood life, and it's been quite a few years before, after high school, and when we started, when we got back in touch with each other, it was through Isaac. One day I was talking to him, and I said, "How's Joel doing?" I hadn't seen Isaac in years and whatever, and he said, "Man, he's in the Philippines." And I said, "What?" You know, I said, "Man, I had no idea," you know, and so we ended up getting in touch through there, and this is when, before I was even the pastor at this church, and we were able to talk about his ministry and all that stuff, and so it was just been such a blessing. Then the Lord brings me here and you guys into my life and allows me to be the pastor here, and they came to the service, one of the services on the lawn in the summer, and we got to talk, and we went out to lunch. Or dinner, me and Jenny, and then went out to dinner here in Fork Union. We've been talking about it, and so I've been so excited. They were supposed to be here like, you know, a couple weeks ago and all the snow and everything. So I'm so excited to have you guys here. I'm so excited to hear about what God is doing in your life, what he's doing in the Philippines. And I didn't say the Philistines because I kept thinking I was going to say that. All week I've been telling them, like, "Yeah, we got some missionaries from the Philistines," you know. And anyways, so but I'm so excited, and I want to read some scripture before they come up, before he comes up and shares, from Romans chapter 10. This is what it says. Paul writes this. He says, "But now how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?" Okay, so how can they call on him and to save them unless they believe in them? And he goes on to say this: how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? He goes on to say this in verse 15: "And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, 'How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news.'" See, we have two Christ followers with us today that we are blessed to have, that are right here before us, that have given up everything to go on the other side of the globe, literally, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be followers and to be those messengers. But see, we can be challenged by this because, and this isn't the sermon, but I want to encourage us today because we have baskets here that I want to bless them and help send them, because it says this. It says, Paul, what did he say? He said, "And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent?" So some people aren't called to go overseas. Some people are called to be local ministers and whatever. But guess what? We do have the duty and we have the ability and the blessing to be the ones who can help send. And so that's why they're here today also, to encourage us and to give us the opportunity to bless them and help them in their ministry as they go. So Joel, I'll be quiet and I'll let you come on up. We're glad you guys are here. If you feel led to give to them, there's a basket with their name on the back and there's one here at the front. Make sure you do that before you go. So come on up and thank you for being here.
Good morning. Again, my name is Joel Shelley, my wife Rachel. We are missionaries with Word of Life. Can everyone hear me? What about in the back there? What about now?
That's about it.
All right. Again, it's It's I'm trying to explain how I feel right now, if that even really matters. But it is interesting that I find myself in this spot right now. As Pastor Anthony, I just want to again thank you, Pastor Anthony, and leaders of the church for having us here. Again, I grew up with Anthony in high school. We were in the same grade. You know, if you would have told me that Anthony would be a pastor, at first a state trooper, then a pastor, I would have laughed.
Me too.
If you would have told Anthony that I'd be a missionary, he would have just, it would be unbelievable. It would just, that is not, but it's the grace of God, isn't it?
Amen.
You know? I just wanted to share with you, first I want to share with you a little bit about Word of Life. That's the name of our ministry, but where did we get our name, Word of Life? It comes from a passage in Philippians 2:16. If you want to go there, Philippians 2:16. Philippians 2:16, I'll read this verse. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. There's more context to that verse, but I want to focus on the word of life. What is the word of life? First, I want to notice that word of life is a person, right? It's a person. That's 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. First, the word of life is a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Next, it's a possession. The word of life is a possession. That's in John 6:68. It says, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. A little bit of context, right? The crowds, there was many, many around Christ at the time. There was a crowd around him. You ever had that? You like started a job or started a task and there's a crowd around? And then when the work starts, people start to disappear? The whole thing got a little more serious, right? Christ started talking about disciples. What is it meant to be a disciple? And it says, many had turned back and walked with him no more. And then there was the 12, right? There was 12 left. And Jesus asked the disciples, do you also want to go away? And then Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The Lord Jesus is both the word of life and he has the words of eternal life. Isn't this the uniqueness of Christ? No one else can make that claim. There have been many since the beginning of time. You can think them all, and even today in today's religions. But only Christ can claim he is the word of life, and he proclaims the words of eternal life. Third, the word of life is a proclamation. That's Acts 5:20. It says, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of eternal life. This was a command from the angel of the Lord to the imprisoned apostles after the angel had opened the prison doors and released them with this charge. Speak to the people all the words of eternal life. So basically the angel told them to go do what got them thrown into jail in the first place, right? They were thrown in jail for speaking the words of life, and he said, go out and do it again. Speak the words of eternal life. So the word of life is a person, It's a possession. It's a proclamation. And what is the words of life? It is the gospel. It is the good news. You know, many have never heard a clear proclamation of the gospel. I found that to be true no matter where I've gone, what country I've been in, what city, town, highway, byway. It's all basically the same. Many have never heard a clear proclamation of the good news. And in fact, many have never heard much of the Word of God or the Bible. I think we really have to start from the beginning. Many not have that background, even in Scripture at all. We start from the beginning, right? In Genesis. Genesis answers a lot of questions that people have today. Where did sickness and death come from? Why do people get sick? Why do people die? Why do bad things happen? And we can tell them. And it came through sin, right? Adam and Eve in the garden, God gave our first parents a choice to obey or disobey. And they disobeyed. And now we have a sin nature, right? That's Romans 5. We have all sinned. We know that. When someone first has a baby, it doesn't take long that they are sinners. We've all sinned. Then we have our personal sin. We know we've each sinned. We offended a holy God. That's the problem, right? That's the bad news. Here's another piece of news. Only perfectly righteous people will be in heaven. That should startle us. How is it that only perfectly righteous people can be in heaven? We're not righteous. We've all sinned. God is perfectly righteous. Some of us may be a little better than another, but in God's eyes, we're all sinners. And here's the good news, one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's justification, right? He gave us something that he had, his perfect righteousness. And he took something that we had, our sin. He took that. It was a transaction that happened. That's our justification. In John 3:16 that we know so well. But that verse is packed with so much, as I just said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And what does it mean to believe in him? Putting your faith and trust in him, to know him. But you can't trust someone that you don't know. And this is where I would like to tell you a little bit about my testimony, we call it. But it's just simply to a court of law, right? A testimony is just something telling the court of what something has happened. A truthful statement, or should be a truthful statement, of something that's happened. You know, I grew up knowing about Jesus. I grew up going to church. I grew up going to Sunday school. I remember going to VBS and doing all those things. But did I truly know him? Sometimes people ask me at different times if I know a particular famous person. And my usual reply is, I don't know them. Which is true, I don't know them. I might know about them, but I really don't know them personally. And that's actually what they meant, really, isn't it? If I've just heard about them. It's one thing to know about someone. It's an entirely different to truly know them personally. And then I could tell you the rest of part of my life after, during high school and growing up and later, 20s and 30s. I suppose I could tell you about the drinking. I could tell you about the drugs. I could tell you about the parties on several different continents. But I think I could summarize my life before Christ this way. It's an interesting song from Frank Sinatra, My Way. And in the chorus he says, I did it my way. My way didn't work out. Again, it's interesting to be here with people that know you. It's one thing to go around the world where no one knows you, but come home and people that know you. In 2010, I was awoken by a police officer knocking on my windows as I sat in my truck passed out in Charlie Kidd's store with the keys in the ignition, not remembering how I got there. I could have killed myself and worse, another family. And it was that night, sitting in jail, that the Lord got my attention. And I just tell you that because that kind of was in the summarizing endpoint of that's where my life, all those years, the consequence was not always there, but finally they caught up. And it could have been a lot worse. It was by the grace of God that it was just that. I thank the Lord for the officer that hauled me into jail. My way wasn't working out. And as I look back, I understand it was by the grace of God that it didn't work out. You know, the Lord Jesus makes a very, very serious statement in Matthew 16:26. He said, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul?" That's a sobering statement. I could have been the most successful man in the world. I could have invented many things. I could have been rich. But what difference does it make? When the day I take my last breath and I spend eternity without him, what difference does it make? In 2010, I surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. I gave my life to him. And I now have a desire to do life God's way. And I'm not looking back. And I thank the Lord that many that have prayed for me. I think of my grandfather now as I just think about my granddad. Many years had prayed for me, even during that time. And he didn't see now that I'm a missionary with Word of Life. But that wouldn't have been the main thing. He would have just been that I was walking with the Lord. That's what it would have been, an answer to prayer. After the Lord saved me, I had a desire to read God's word and be a part of a local church where I could worship the one true living God with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to grow and walk in him. It was a step by step. You know, this is how God works in our lives. Seeing if we are faithful with each step. If that's one thing I want to communicate to a young person or any person, this is the way the Lord works. It's step by step. He takes you one place and says, "Are you going to be faithful in this?" He shows you another step. And step by step, he leads you. 2013, I went on a short-term missions trip to the Philippines. I returned 6 months later. I met Word of Life and I met my wife. I met Rachel. I pursued her. It wasn't exactly a mutual thing at first. But when you see a good thing, you go after it. And the Lord really taught me a lot in that. Patience and don't give up. We got married in 2016. And then we returned to the Philippines to serve full time with Word of Life in the Philippines. And that's now I just want to share with you a little bit about the ministry. Rachel, if you want to come up. As you can see here on our first slide, the Word of Life Ministry, you can see the globe here, and you see some Filipino kids up there, and you see a place. And that kind of reminds me, it's a place and it's a people. Our place happens to be in the Philippines here, as you can see kind of how we're located, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that. First, did you know?
So good morning, everyone. Just to give you a little bit of background about the Philippines. So the Philippines is made up of over 7,000 islands. There's lots and lots and lots of islands. But if you took all those islands and put them together, geographically, it's only about the size of the state of Arizona. So it's not that big. There's two languages in the Philippines, Tagalog and English, or Filipino as they call it sometimes. But there's lots and lots and lots of dialects because of all the islands. There's over 100 million people. And that's really amazing to think about, because you think about the size of the state of Arizona, and 100 million people is roughly one third the population of the United States. So imagine taking one third of the United States population and squeezing them together in the state of Arizona, and that's the population density in the Philippines. So it's people everywhere, but it's a wonderful, wonderful place. There's over 10 million people that go overseas to work, and they send money home. People joke that the largest export of the Philippines is their people, because that's one of the ways they help support their families. Resilience is a trait that we love about the Philippines. The people love to smile. They love to laugh. No matter what challenges seem to come, the way they handle the challenges is after the tears come, they laugh about it and they make jokes about it, and it helps them get through. And they're just very quick to bounce back. And it's a very Catholic nation. As you can see, they're 83% Catholic. But don't let that deceive you that many people know the Lord, because it's very mixed with animism, which is the tribal religions. And so even though people know about Jesus, so many people there do not know him personally. And so that's one of our joys, is to be able to be there to help share that news with them.
There's a timeline right there, but I just want to share two major dates. 1977. World Life Philippines was given 19 acres, a coconut plantation in Rizal. So the property we're at now is actually about 45 minutes away from the original property, and that was in Rizal. And the ministry has, from there, there was a 25-year lease. So the man that owned that, Mr. Conducto, he gave the ministry a lease for that for 25 years. And then he said, after that time, everything that's not nailed down, you can take. And other than that, it stays with us. So they had to find a new property. In 2002, the Lord really opened the door for our camp where we're at now, which is on about 35 acres. I just want to show you a little bit. This kind of helps an idea of the framework for the ministry. There's four different parts. You have the Bible Institute, the local church, camping ministry, campus ministry. They're all kind of work together, or should work together, but they all should work with the local church, and that is the focus.
So our local church ministries team, what their goal is to come alongside churches like yourselves and to help strengthen their youth ministry. So they do that through training, they do it through discipleship training, evangelism training, leadership training, and they also help provide materials and curriculum. And just encourage and support the leaders, helping to just point them in the direction and helping them train their youth leaders so that they can have a flourishing ministry. One of the joys that we enjoy with the local church team, because even though there's all these different parts, we kind of are a little bit involved with each one, not directly connected to any one specific one, but all a little bit here, a little bit there. But with the local church ministries, we've gotten to join them on their training, so evangelism training. They have one that's called STORM, which stands for Sending Teens Out to Reach the Masses. And what we do is we go to a church on a Saturday morning. The church has organized for all their teens and maybe teens from other churches to be there. And we do a training, like, what is the gospel? How do you share the gospel? And then give the teens some tools on how they can, like, ways that makes it easier for them to walk through the gospel with someone. We have a time of prayer, a time of lunch, more time of prayer, and then we go out on the streets and we do it with them. And it is so exciting to watch these teens who often are like really scared and nervous at first because they've never done it before. And then you come alongside them, you say, let's go. And sometimes we do it first and then get them started, then hand it over to the teens and to watch them get excited about sharing the gospel, For you teens that are sitting up here to get excited about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people around them, it's an amazing thing to watch. And then to come back at the end of the day and have stories about what they saw God do and the opportunities that opened up, it's a real blessing. That's the local church ministries.
The Bible Institute. You can see the building there. We have a nice building. The ministry has changed a little bit with the Bible Institute. Of course, everything's changed this year, but normally I have 40 to 60 students a year. It's a 1 to 4 year program. The first year, you can just do 1 year, get a basic grounding of the word, or you can do 4 years, with your fourth year being your internship. We have guest lecturers from all over the world. We have very good teachers from in the Philippines and the U.S. and Australia and a couple other places. We have good teachers, and they're really getting grounded in the Word of God. And I wanted to show you this again, this picture. This is really a focus we have, especially in the coming years. You can see how the Philippines is a strategic place in the world, we think. Well, a lot of people think that, actually. But for us, as you can see, we're in the middle. We're Taiwan to the north. You can see, of course, we're in the South China Seas, Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Malaysia, Indonesia. We're really looking to be a hub. Right now, the Philippines is a very open country. We can go in and we've gone to schools. We can go in and preach the gospel all over the place. We just say it's a moral recovery. And sure, we talk about morals, but we talk about the gospel. So it's just it's open that way. And so we can have students come. We've had them from Vietnam, Myanmar,
Indonesia.
We're looking to expand that. I was in Myanmar. That was a few years ago, and we met this one man, Starry. We were at their home church. I didn't understand two words, but I knew the Lord was being worshipped. And this man actually came back to the Bible Institute. I know he did at least 1 year, and returned, and he's continued doing ministry there. So some of these countries that we can't get into, like, I stand out in the Philippines, if you could believe that or not. So some of these countries I really have a hard, you know, we do go in those countries, but it's even better if we can get some students grounded in the word and send them back, and they could continue to minister in their countries, in these limited access countries. So that's really what we're looking to really further push in the coming years.
The campus ministry is there's a large university just 20 minutes away from where our campus is located. And we have the opportunity, the Lord has given us a student center that's located right outside the campus property. And we have a team that goes to the university Monday through Friday and just looks for opportunities to connect with students. They sit down, and if you're familiar with Campus Crusade or InterVarsity, some of those college outreaches, it's very similar. They just look for students around the campus that are free. They sit down, start up a conversation, build a relationship, and look for opportunities to tell them about Jesus, but also to invite them to our student center where they can just come and do their studying or hang out, but also get more connected and eventually go through a discipleship program for those who come to know the Lord. And it's really neat how the Lord is using the campus ministry to bring people to himself, but also from there, we've had several that have continued on through Bible school and who are now serving in different countries around Southeast Asia as missionaries. So it's pretty exciting to see what God has done through that team.
The camping ministry. We really have a good-sized camping ministry. It's taken quite a few years. Like I said, we've been there in that property since 2002, but it's really grown. You can see a little bit of the pictures, but it's a beautiful place. There's a lot of work that goes into keeping this place looking like that and maintained. We are carved out of the jungle there, and the jungle wants to come back constantly. So but we keep it a nice place. A lot of these kids are coming from places that are not so nice, especially if they're in the cities. It's the concrete jungle there. And so they're coming to a place that they feel safe. They are safe. It's clean, and you can tell that they're relaxed, and they have a place where they can hear the word of God, hear the gospel, and we feel that many are getting saved. Of course, again, this year has changed. We had previous years, about 20,000 campers a year. We have a lot of campers coming through. This year, we've had a little over 50. We have done the virtual stuff, but that's getting a little old, isn't it? Everyone tired of the virtual thing? I'm tired of saying the word virtual, to tell you the truth. And I know it's necessary, and I'm glad. We thank the Lord that he's given that opportunity. And we look forward to incorporating that into ministry, but we're looking forward where people are there. We can invest in their lives and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're praying for that day. And Lord willing, that day is coming sooner than later. We have two camps. We have one, the northern island of Luzon and Laguna. And then we have another camp in Mindanao, the southern island. They actually have more campers than we do. They're by the sea. It's a little bit of different ministry there, but it's a really good ministry.
So we have all these different things we're a part of, but our specific focus and day-to-day lives are a little bit what you're going to see in these next couple slides. Next
one. Communication network. I've had a couple different jobs. I have a background in a few different things, and I look at it and how the Lord's, this is all stuff that I got saved in the military and all the different times, and IT stuff and computers and different stuff that I learned working for my brother excavating. I could at least run a backhoe, which it was interesting how the Lord's used that, you know. They think I can actually run stuff, so that's pretty bad. I've learned to fool them this long, so, and stuff gets done by the grace of God. I don't know how, but the communication network, we didn't have much of that. So we were able to actually get a fiber connection into the camp. So we have a really good connection, able to set up a good network. So we have lots of communication ways. Now it's just getting good communication, but we've been able to upgrade that, and that's been a big help, especially now that a lot of them, the kids, they can't go to school. They're really strict there. So able to have internet where they can keep doing schoolwork. We can see how the Lord provided in that. Land and facility development. Like I said, we had an old Furmac backhoe that it finally gave up life, and we're able to actually get a new case. It's another story of how God worked through that. But now we have at least a decent piece of equipment that we can develop this new piece of land. And I'm going to show you a video here in a little bit, and you'll kind of see what we've been working on. And maintenance projects. There's always something to do. And I've been I've been thankful that I had different tools and a little bit of knowledge and a few things to able to help with some of the maintenance projects. And maybe give a different perspective to some of the things, some of the how you do things. It's a good mix, I think, of how we do it.
One of our highlights each year has been joining in what we call island camps. So we have two physical camp locations, but then we also started to see, there's a lot of kids in a lot of different islands where they can't physically come to the locations we have. So we decided to put together small teams and go to them. And getting to help with that, some of the most remote places I've ever been in my life, in the middle of nowhere, 24-hour drive away from where we were, down to the ones in the city, it's just been a really cool opportunity to be able to run a camp for kids who've never had camp experience before, and just to see them get excited. Very primitive, sometimes very limited resources, but yet it doesn't take much to bring a smile and to get the kids excited and to be able to talk about Jesus. That's been pretty cool.
When you think about the one camp we had, the most remote place we've been, and it was literally like the missionary story, you have to take a boat, and that's how it used to be, but now they have a road getting in there. But we got there, and literally, it's just in the middle of the river. They had like a little island there, just nothing but rocks. And how are we going to do this? There's one tent, and we get there, and there's seven chickens underneath the thing. And then each day, one chicken got less. And they had no refrigeration. I don't know how they made it work. We were all fed, and it was just it was just neat to see how these kids were walking. You hear the old story, walking for miles uphill both ways. These kids walked a long ways. And just to hear the word of God. So not all of them are like that, but it's interesting. Some.
We get to join our Bible Institute. So one of the things on the weekends, each weekend, the Bible school students go out to a different church or a different area, and they partner with the local church to do evangelism and discipleship. And that's been a really neat thing to be able to join them in. Also getting to do discipleship with one-on-one scenarios, I guess, with different students from the school is always a highlight each year. Getting to have them come to our home and invest in them and to see them continuing on with the Lord. It's a real blessing. My role personally has been a lot more the administrative side of things. I handle a lot of the ministry communication, administration, visas, passports, making sure that our foreign staff can stay in the country, helping our national staff be able to travel to other places. A lot of paperwork, but I love it. But I think my favorite part is the ministry in our home. We have a house that the Lord has given us there on the camp property to be able to use for having people in. And whether it's just having a meal, whether it's having someone stay with us for a night, whether it's having different ones live with us for a couple of months, it has just been such a joy to have that place where we can welcome people in and just share the love of Christ through living with them or a meal with them.
And then investing in the next generation. We also, there at camp, a lot of the staff have staff kids, and it's been a good opportunity to, I have a utility vehicle, it's a golf cart, but I got an ATV, and just teaching them how to drive, that was just an opportunity that we're able to, just a small way, just to the kids there, it's interesting what kids will tell you when you start talking to them. They'll tell you a lot of stuff, and so it's interesting to have the opportunity. I wouldn't necessarily have the opportunity if I didn't do something like try to teach them how to drive or something like that, so it's been a, we thank the Lord for those opportunities too. This is a little map here of the camp there. You can kind of see the red. It's large, but you can see it. The red part is the land that we previously owned. And then the green part is the newly purchased land. The red part's about 35 acres. The new land is about 16 acres. As you can see now, the river ran to the side of our property. Now the river runs through it. And so we're really looking forward to have the opportunity to develop that piece of land. We're getting a service bridge over there. They've already started like tent camping. You know, we're on 35 acres, but where actually the campers are at any given time is probably less than 2 acres. We have up to 500 campers at a time. So with a lot of campers, we're really looking forward to expand into more outdoor adventures. We can pile a bunch of campers in a cabin. We don't see that happening for a while. So we really see how the Lord's using this, that we can have them do tent camping and outdoor ventures kind of stuff. So that's why we're really pushing this to get this part developed. This is a quote from the founder, one of the founders of Word of Life. It says, "I believe it's the responsibility of every generation to reach their generation for Christ." We're really looking, I think about that even more now. You know, our culture has changed, hasn't it? You know, my country has changed since the last time I was here. My country keeps changing. And our youth are changing in the way they understand things and see things, take in things. But the Word of God does not change. The gospel does not change. And so we want to take our responsibility of reaching our generation that changes with the Word of God that doesn't. So we're using maybe different methods. And that's what we're looking to do with this other piece of property. If we can, we have a video, Corbin, if you want to, you said you're going to turn it towards there.
In this video, you're going to hear a testimony of a young man. He introduces himself as a staff kid. He grew up, his parents were the cooks at the camp, and I actually grew up in the Philippines as well. My parents were missionaries there when I was just a baby, and I lived there till I graduated high school. But this young man, you're going to hear his testimony of how God worked and what he is doing now. He's now full-time on our staff, has joined our team, and it's such a privilege to work with him. But he has a really cool story that we wanted you to hear.
Thank you. Ezra Rico, and growing up as a staff kid is a huge blessing for me. I was surrounded by people who are committed to love and serve the Lord. I was really blessed to observe people who are committed and passionate in sharing the gospel. And at an early age, I was exposed to a lot of short-term mission trips. We would go to different places in the Philippines to share the gospel to the lost through basketball. And it was through these trips that God has challenged me to attend the Word of Life Bible Institute. During my time at the Bible Institute, I learned a lot of things, from waking up early in the morning to do kitchen duties, to time management, to taking my responsibilities seriously. But I think my greatest takeaway from the Word of Life Bible Institute is learning to deeply fall in love with God and His words. I learned to take the Word of God and use it as a guide through the twists and turns of life. Currently, I am a Word of Life Local Church Ministries missionary. We help churches in the area of youth ministry. My desire and my burden is to prepare the next generation of young people to become frontliners of the gospel for Christ. My prayer and my passion is to see every young people in the Philippines to become passionate and intentional in sharing the gospel to their friends and their families.
As we look ahead, we look forward to continuing to utilize the resources God has given us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2019, the Lord, through faithful supporters, provided another resource for our stewardship: 16 acres of additional land across the river, which we are calling Riverside. As the Lord provided the land, we began considering the possibilities. We began to dream. Our dream revolves around the idea of expanding our camping ministry through added outdoor adventure activities. The uniqueness of the camping ministry is its ability to get youth out of their everyday routines of life and away from many of the distractions of this world, resulting in an environment where campers are more sensitive to hearing the Word of God. We begin here at the height of the Riverside property. This mountaintop lookout will be a great place where campers can hike and get a view of the entire camp and surrounding area. We now move down to the peninsula, where we look forward to further developing an ATV and BMX track. Whoa! The roof service bridge is well underway and should be completed soon, providing a way across the river to develop the rest of the land. A simple footbridge is where we began. We can imagine the many campers that might walk across in the coming years as they set out for outdoor adventures. We can also envision the excitement as campers kayak or tube down the river, many for the first time. Why did a camper cross the river? To get to the outdoor adventures on the other side, of course. But as we consider how, this is where the dream of a main access bridge comes in. The bridge will create easy and direct access for our campers from the main part of camp to Riverside. This bird's eye view will give you a glimpse where we cleared out a little jungle and began growing grass. It's a beautiful spot to pitch a tent and enjoy an evening around the campfire. Our desire is that this will help create an end to a day the campers will not forget. And we pray a day that will have an impact on their lives throughout eternity.
So who wants to come visit? We do hope to maybe one day be able to bring a team over from Fork Union Baptist Church to work with us for a week, for 2 weeks, however long the Lord allows.
Fulfilling the vision. I just want to close with this. And we talk about the getting the bridge. If you've seen that one service bridge, we were talking about the service bridge where there's three gabions with the rock. We actually had the middle one wash out, so we're kind of back to another. We just had the funds come in. We're going to get some I-beams that will go across to span that whole thing. So we're thankful actually we're going to have service back to that. And Lord willing, we'll get the main access bridge. I think, as we've been talking with our director, I think we're going to focus more now on getting water and electric and at least a shower room and bathrooms. Because at least we can start having campers over there. They can have a place where they can like shower and a bathroom. So that's probably be our focus in the next few years, and probably an open meeting area. So I just want to share with you a little bit about that. That's what we're asking the Lord to. He's been faithful so many times, and we know that He just continues to be faithful, and that's what we're looking forward to. Thank you for having us. Thank you again. It's just it's been an honor. We're just able to be here.
Just before we close, we just want to share a couple of things. On the table here in the front and the table in the back, there's a sign-up sheet. If you're interested, to follow us through email. We try and send out email updates about things that are happening there. We'd love to include you in that. Just feel free to sign and put your email there. We also have our prayer card. We would love to have you partner with us. And if you pick up one of those prayer cards, you can put it somewhere so you can remember to pray for us. We'd really appreciate it. Also, there's a little booklet. It has a lot of what we shared in our presentation and just some pictures, and feel free. There's plenty of those on both places. Grab one of those if you want. And then for any of the kids who are here or kids at heart, there's little coins in a basket here on this table. You can grab one if you want. It's less than a penny, really, in value, but they're pretty cool. Some of them are full. Some of them have a little hole in them. And you bring that with you, and as you see it, think of us and pray for us in the Philippines. So it's been a real privilege to be here and to be with you all to share this morning. So thank you for having us.
Thank you. And again, you're more than welcome. We have a place for you. It's about a 16-hour plane ride. It's not too bad.
Just hop on over.
No, it's pretty bad. It's a long time. But, you know, it's worth it. I think it's worth it. So you all are welcome to join us.
Well, I don't know about y'all. I was kind of thinking and praying about, man, is the Lord calling me to go help them in the Philippines? And I'm pretty sure I heard from the Lord today when I saw the ATVs and the kayak. I was like, I think definitely the Lord confirmed that I need to go to the Philippines for maybe a month or two. I don't know. That is awesome, and I think sometimes we can get so caught up. You mentioned something about coming home and seeing how much the country's changed, and we can get so caught in their little bubble here in the United States. Okay, and we can think like all the stuff that's going on with the politics and all the garbage we watch in the news and all the things that seems like the world's falling apart. And I expected today to be more challenged and maybe convicted about going as a missionary or whatever, but for me personally, I was encouraged today by your testimonies and by what's going on, because sometimes we need to remember there's more to life. God didn't just create the United States of America, right? Okay? So it's encouraging to me to see all the good things that God is still doing around the world. And it's because of faithful people like you guys, Joel and Rachel, and other missionaries and other Christian Christ followers all around the world. There's people that are faithful here doing great things. But be encouraged today. God is still at work. God hasn't forgotten about the world that He created, that He sent His Son to save. And I'm just excited to see our relationship grow. I'm talking about our church and you guys with Word of Life and what we can do to help you. And I'm just excited about it. So I wanted to close with this. Joel said something in his testimony, and I was reading his testimony just this morning in their little pamphlet. Make sure you grab one of those and take it and read about it. And I'm telling you, if you put my name at the top, it's my testimony almost to a T. You know, I grew up in church and everything, but I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And it was 2012, if you believe that, before I really had that wake-up moment where I'd reached the end of myself and said, there's got to be more to life than what I've experienced. There's got to be something else. What else is it? I've tried everything else. What else is it? To a point where I hit my knees and I said, Lord, I need to be forgiven, and I need to know that I'm right with my Creator. And so I just want to encourage you, if that's you today, it doesn't matter whether you're a teenager, whether you're a toddler, or whether you're a senior citizen. Today is the day of salvation, says the Lord. So if God is speaking to you today, you can talk to Him right where you're sitting. Just simply do this. Let's pray. Say, Father in heaven, my Creator, Lord, I acknowledge to You today that I'm a sinner. I admit it, even though You already know it, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I've fallen short from the glory of God. God, I've tried everything else my way, like Joel said. I tried it my way, God, and it's not fulfilling that hole in my heart that only that I've been searching so long for. But that Lord, today I come and I ask You to fill that heart, that hole in my heart. God, I ask that You would forgive me of my sin. And I do, just like John 3:16, I believe today. I choose to believe that You sent Your one and only Son. That if I believe in Him today, that I will inherit eternal life and forgiveness of my sins. Lord, I ask that You would help me to turn from my sin and to follow You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today with me, whether maybe you're online, maybe you're joining us online, or maybe you're listening to the podcast later, either way, the Bible tells us, God promises, that Jesus promises that we are made a new creation, and He fills us with His Holy Spirit, but we have to receive that today. If that is you, I would encourage you, there's a very important step left in the process, and that's to just come and share that testimony that He was talking about, that Joel was talking about. Let me tell you what the decision that I've made, because when you do that, something very, very powerful and important changes in your life. When you finally take that little step to be faithful, to say, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, I want to tell you about the decision I've made today. When you do that, God says, ah, they were faithful today for that step. Now let me show you what the next process is, just like Joel was talking about. It's where it all starts. Praying that prayer from your heart and then confessing it with your mouth. The Bible tells us if we believe in our heart and we confess it with our mouth, we will be saved. We call upon the Lord, we'll be saved. If that is you today and we're singing, if you want to do that, please come and do that. If you need prayer, whatever it is, before we leave, and again, make sure, not only do you welcome this awesome couple here today, but we send them out and bless them as they return to do God's work. Amen? If God is calling you this morning, come as we sing.